On today's special edition of the Citation Podcast, our professional support solicitor, Emma McGrath, is joined by the NDNA's Chief Executive, Panima Tanuku, CBE, to help nursery leaders understand and prepare for the upcoming Employment Rights Bill. We've been working in partnership with the NDNA for the last 15 years to provide guidance and support on all things compliance to the early years sector, so we're really excited to have them on the podcast today.
Thanks for joining us today, and thanks to Panima. Good to see you.
Good to see you again, Emma.
So today we're going to be looking at the new employment law reforms that's proposed, including the Employment Rights Bill. But obviously, Panima, there's a lot of issues going on in nurseries at the moment. So do you want to just give us a quick overview on what is going on for the sector?
Absolutely. There are lots of changes being thrown at the earlier sector at the moment. And from a policy perspective, from a regulatory perspective, lots of changes coming along. So it's a really fine balance for the nurseries to be able to kind of address those, but at the same time, keep delivering that high quality early education and care. So it's that balancing act they have to do constantly. So it's really important that they get the support.
Yes, absolutely. And obviously, you know, as employers, they've got to be aware of the employment legislation that's coming. So what we wanted to look at today was the release of the Employment Rights Bill, which came in October. It's certainly containing some very significant proposals. It's being billed by the government as the biggest shakeup of workers' rights in a generation. So it's going to be quite hard for nursery owners to keep on top of that, I think.
Absolutely. I wish they would do a bigger shakeup of the funding for nurseries as well, Emma. But unfortunately, we're not getting there yet. But I think it is important because things are changing so much and so quickly. And also the time to prepare for those changes is really important because nursery owners and managers will have to step back a little bit and understand what those changes are, what it means to them and for their nursery in terms of the implications.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, this is being billed by the government as the biggest shakeup of workers' rights in a generation. So it is huge. I mean, at the moment, it is only in draft. So it's going through Parliament at the moment. But yeah, as you say, sort of employers need to be absent, nursery owners need to be absolutely aware of what's coming and think about the things they could do. So in this podcast, we're going to be looking at some of the key shifts coming in this employment law. So there's sort of groundbreaking day one unfair dismissal rights, changes in statutory sick pay and 0 hours. So we'll have a look through those and sort of talk about the implications for nurseries. To start off, we'll have a look at the new day one employment right to bring an unfair dismissal claim. So this is likely to come into force in October 2026. At the moment, generally speaking, employees need 2 years' service to be able to bring a sort of a straightforward unfair dismissal claim. So they can already bring what are called automatic unfair dismissal claims. So, for example, if somebody's dismissed because they're pregnant or because they've raised a health and safety concern. But this is talking about the right to actually have a, you know, being able to bring an unfair dismissal claim from the day one of employment. Now, sort of, you know, good news for nursery employers, there is actually still going to be the right to have a probationary period. And the idea seems to be that there'll be a simplified dismissal process during that probationary period. And we understand that the probationary period is going to be between 3 to 9 months in length. So, you know, that's sort of a reasonable period to, you know, to assess how somebody is. But when an employer is dismissing during that probationary period, it's got to be about the employee. So, you know, it might be to do with their conduct or their capability, or that to continue to employ them would be like a legal breach. But it isn't about the business. So, for example, I mean, hopefully nurses don't often have to go through redundancies. But if it was a redundancy situation, then that is not about the employee, it's about the business. So that's going to be the right to bring a claim from day one. But yes, it's sort of really emphasising the importance of, you know, good induction and probationary.
Absolutely. I think, you know, it's important to sort of understand that no employer wants to dismiss their staff unless it's absolutely necessary and there is a valid reason for it.
Yeah.
But equally, I think employers are concerned that they don't want to find themselves on the wrong side of the law. So it's really important to have those kind of, you know, processes in place. And it's really important to get the individuals and candidates to understand what the values of the organizations are, what the expectations are, how can they be supported. And I think all that needs to be made very clear right from the beginning. Yeah. And like you said, the induction process needs to be really thorough and very clear so that the both employer and the employee understands exactly where they stand and what they need to look out for and what they expect from each other.
Yeah, absolutely. And recruitment's expensive, isn't it? You know, there is, you know, obviously there's a recruitment crisis at the moment for nurseries. So, you know, for all these reasons, you want to get the right staff in from the beginning.
Absolutely.
And that's already a real issue, isn't it?
So, it is.
Yeah. Yeah, no, absolutely. The next proposed change I wanted to talk about was changes to statutory sick pay. So at the moment, if an employee is off sick and only receiving statutory sick pay, then the first 3 days of their absence are called waiting days and they're unpaid. But actually, the proposal is that they're going to remove these waiting days. So in other words, employees would receive statutory sick pay from the first day of their sickness absence. And another issue which could cause sort of greater expense for nurseries is that they're proposing to get rid of the lower earnings limit qualification for statutory sick pay. So at the moment, an employee needs to earn at least £123 per week on average, the lower earnings limit. That's actually rising to £125 in April 2025. But the proposal is to get rid of that so that all employees are eligible for statutory sick pay. They are looking to probably to reduce the amount of statutory sick pay if somebody is on sort of a lower earner. But, you know, at the moment, there are obviously part-time staff in nursery, aren't there? So perhaps, you know, I would imagine this is going to increase nursery's sickness absence bill.
Absolutely. I think this is an area of concern for nurseries, not because they don't want to pay genuine sick pay to people who really deserve that, but equally important, as an employer, their costs are going up 15% this year. That is due to all the minimum wage increases and now the national insurance contribution increases. Mm-hmm. So that's a huge cost. So they have to weigh up the pros and cons between being sustainable and be able to kind of support their staff in all these ways. So it's really difficult because all these changes would mean not only financial burdens for employers, but equally legal implications for employers as well. So it's a balancing act at the end of the day. And sustainability is a big issue at the moment.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, I think some of the sort of the theory behind these changes are that it's going to stop employees coming in when because they can't afford to be off and you know, sort of the coming in poorly. But equally, you know, the reality is there's a little bit of a concern that it might increase sickness absence as well if people do know that they're going to be off, so as unpaid while they're off.
I think also we need to understand in the nurseries, there are lots of bugs going on.
Yes, absolutely.
Children absolutely bring in and take home all sorts of infections and that gets passed on to the staff as well.
Yes.
So I think, you know, it's an environment that they're working day in, day out. And I think, you know, that's something that we need to understand as well from an employee perspective and from a staff perspective as well.
Yeah. No,
so it's really important to get the balance right.
Yeah, that's right. No, absolutely. There's obviously a lot of bugs flying around that they can't avoid. So yeah.
Absolutely.
And I think it's sort of, I suppose, just thinking about things that nursery owners can do now. It is things like reviewing their sickness absence management now. Always having return to work interviews, asking people to fill out self-certification forms. And then, so as wider points, just, I suppose, if we're thinking about well-being and sort of support, you know, thinking about how they can support employees if they have got ongoing health issues. And I know that ties into the whole sort of, you know, well-being within nurseries, isn't it, as well?
Absolutely. A lot of nurseries now don't call it actually staff sickness monitoring or management. It's more about staff well-being and welfare management. And I think that is really positive.
Yeah.
And because if the staff feel supported and the kind of owners and managers understand if they're absent and why they're absent, okay, there could be all sorts of different reasons.
Yes.
And then they're more supportive and colleagues will be more supportive as well. So it's, again, team working and understanding what is available and what support is available within an nursery.
Yeah.
That is also important.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I suppose having that communication means that you might actually be able to avoid somebody being off sick in the future, you know, which is good for everyone, isn't it? I mean, the employee doesn't want to be off either. So it's
absolutely.
Brilliant. The next area I want to talk about was 0 hours contracts. So there's quite a lot of sort of media attention on this. And I think at one point I definitely saw articles saying that 0 hours contracts were going to be banned under the Labour government. That isn't the proposal. So there's three main changes which are being proposed in the Employment Rights Bill. So there's a right to a contract giving guaranteed hours. There's a right to reasonable notice of shifts being set. And then there's a right to reasonable notice of changes in those shifts as well. So I was just going to sort of break those down. So I suppose just to look at the first situation. So it's about a right to guaranteed hours. Basically, this is going to apply to either 0 hours workers or people on very low minimum hours. Now, we haven't got a figure on what that minimum level is, but I suspect it'll be something like, you know, if somebody's on sort of, I don't know, say as an example, 2 hours a week as a set amount, you know, it's to get rid of a loophole of trying to claim they're not a 0 hours worker. But once that employee has worked over a certain amount of time, over a certain period, then they must be offered a contract with those reflecting those fixed hours. Now, I'm afraid we haven't got a lot of detail in this area, so we don't know very certain what the period is. It's probably going to be 12 weeks. And we don't know what the certain amount of hours is. But I suppose to give an example, say somebody works on average 20 hours a week for 12 weeks, then it seems likely that this new right will mean that they have to be offered a contract going forward of 20 hours a week. I think the idea of this is that it's just reflecting what is actually happening in practice. I don't know how often are sort of 0 hours contracts used in nurseries or variable hours? Is it sort of...
I think the 0 hours contracts have been kind of, you know, highlighted in the media as if employers are actually, you know, abusing their staff and not giving them the kind of, you know, the right levels of, security in terms of their contracts. But in the nursery sector, the 0 hours contracts, they're not really 0 hours contracts because actually when we talk to providers, they say to us that it's the individuals who actually ask for those contracts. Because it's the flexibility that they want, because they, depending on their family circumstances, can't actually give a guarantee to the employer to say that I can come in for 20 hours this week or I can come in for 15 hours next week. And that's why they want to keep that flexible. So they have a huge bank of staff who they actually, you know, go to be able to get from that pool of staff to be able to bring in. And a lot of it is not an employer-led, it's more to do with the employees adjusting for their home circumstances and individual circumstances. Yeah. That's what they want rather than employer insisting on zero-hour contracts. So I think there has to be some give and take. There has to be some flexibility to accommodate all this. So it's really important that we don't actually tip the balance the other way so that actually staff are not in a way to say, well, actually, I can't do that. Even if you give me a 20-hour contract, I won't be able to do it, you know.
Yeah. So, the good news with the way this right is being phrased is that it is actually an offer.
Yeah.
So there's no obligation on the employee to accept that offer. It's on the employer to actually have to make it. So, yeah, I think good news for nursery owners is that if they have got people on 0 hours contracts because they want to be, then the worker can simply say, yeah, thank you for the offer, but no, I don't want to take that. I will carry on as I am. So that does hopefully then will allow that kind of flexibility to still be available. Yes.
I think it's important to have that flexibility both for the employer and the employee as well.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. The next thing I want to talk about was reasonable notice of shifts. So this is again applying to, it's either to 0 hours workers or it's applying to somebody who works sort of set days and you're actually asking them to work on a different day. So I suppose as an example, say somebody works variable hours from Monday to Wednesday. If you're asking them to work a shift on a Thursday, then these reasonable notice requirements would kick in. And we don't know all the details on this yet. What we do know is that the reasonable notice won't be more than 7 days, but we haven't got any other details on that. And the notice needs to be of when the shift is going to be and the hours of the shift as well. So the day and the time. Now, in terms of cancelling and shortening shifts, again, it's going to be similar. So you need to give reasonable notice of cancelling or shortening shifts. Again, we don't know the exact amount, but it's probably going to be, well, as I said, the maximum will be 7 days. Now, I suppose nurseries, like a lot of sectors, probably come across emergencies, where people suddenly need to be sort of brought in. And clearly you've got your ratios, haven't you? So, you know, there is a need for staff. It's different to perhaps somebody in the office who has to juggle more tasks in the day. You know, you absolutely have to have the staff in. Yeah.
This is a very difficult area because from the beginning of the day, when the nursery opens, even though the rotas are managed very, very carefully because of the staff ratios, and there's always emergencies, you know, a staff calling in sick or something happened. And it's really important because if an off-site inspection happened to, have it on that day, then staffing will become a major issue. So, and that's when they actually call on the bank staff or call on the, agency staff. Agency staff are quite expensive. And also it takes time for somebody to kind of, you know, jump into that session. So to give a notice, yes, they can do that if they know a member of staff is actually going to go for an appointment or for an operation or something like that. It's planned. Mm. They can do that. When it's not planned, when it's an emergency, it's very, very difficult to manage the ratios at the same time as actually, you know, maintain that kind of balance as well. So yes, it's a really difficult one.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, as I said, we are missing a lot of detail on these. So yeah. Obviously this is the kind of, there's consultation and then there's discussion in Parliament. So obviously at some point, you know, we'll see these provisions much more mapped out. And I'm really hopeful that they will have some kind of provision where, you know, if it's an emergency, and of course, then the nursery has to prove that it is an emergency and not just sort of not being able to organise the shifts.
Yes.
Then yes, hopefully there will be some kind of provision for that, because there's, you know, nursery and the care sector, you know, as two examples, you know, absolutely they need to have people in.
Absolutely.
So yeah, so we're hopeful that there'll be something along those lines. But, and I think probably just, I suppose, this is a topic where actually it's really good proof of needing to keep on top of these developments, because
absolutely, yeah. I think also they need to keep reviewing that, because it's getting that right balance between, you know, what is good practice and also what is reasonable and feasible for an employer and an employee as well.
Yeah,
so it's getting that balance.
Yeah,
really important.
And I think thinking about other things that, you know, nurseries can do right now to prepare for this, I suppose it is thinking about, well, how do I use zero hours employees? You know, how much notice am I now giving people? You know, just thinking about how it works in practice so they're ready for sort of for these changes coming in.
I think it's also important for them that they have the paperwork right and the processes right within the nursery, so that they know and understand what to do and how to do it properly within the rules, rather than actually, because sometimes when an emergency comes up, you're not thinking, is this the right way to do it? You're thinking, okay, what do I do now? I'm short of staff. I need somebody. This is what I have to do. You know? So I think having that in place and making sure that the staff are trained to understand what the implications are really important.
Yeah. And there's no doubt that these policies and the training is going to have to be, you know, definitely amended in the next, you know, within the next sort of year or so, whenever these changes come in. So, yeah. The next thing I want to talk about was flexible working. So we've already seen in 2024 some changes around flexible working. So, for example, employees have got the right to make a flexible working application from day one of employment, and they can now make two requests a year instead of one. So, you know, there's already been this sort of push really to make flexible working more the norm. The Employment Rights Bill is proposing to sort of to continue with this push and adding in more requirements for the employer to sort of explain the reasons, if they are saying no to flexible working, you know, the reasons for that, and to discuss that with the employee. But I think that's probably just good practice anyway. I mean, again, this comes down to sort of communication, doesn't it? I suppose, if we just talk a little bit about, you know, flexible working in nurseries, it's trickier because the location probably is difficult to change. You know, there's not the home working, is there? But
it is very difficult in nurseries, and especially since COVID, because, you know, office-based workers are now used to that kind of hybrid working. Whereas in nurseries, that's not possible, because you have to be there on your hands and knees looking after children and, making sure that they're in a safe environment. And in terms of the shifts, employers are always, nursery owners and managers are always, you know, conscious of their family backgrounds and family circumstances. They organise the shift in that way to accommodate that. But what is really difficult is actually, you know, you can't say that, you know, I'll work from home today. Mm. And that's unfortunately not possible in a nursery setting.
Yeah.
But even where there are small chains of nursery, groups of nurseries, they always say that it's really difficult when office staff are actually doing flexible hours, mm. when nursery staff are having to be there, you know, from 8:30 to 5:30, whatever the opening hours mm. are. It's really difficult for them to understand that, you know, if they can do it, why can't I?
Yes.
You know? And it's hard because that is part of the job. And I think it's not just the nursery sector. Other, you know, healthcare sectors and mm. other social care sectors have the same issue. But I think, you know, flexibility can only work to a certain extent yeah. within nurseries.
Yeah.
And beyond that, when you have to be there physically, it's really difficult to kind of, you know, implement that across the board.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, sometimes potentially maybe they could do, you know, tweaks to hours perhaps, but I suppose then again, you know, obviously it's the same problem again, isn't it, in terms of ratios and you do need the staff in. So even if it's sort of, I don't know, something like term time hours, for example, if there were potentially less children in the sort of the school holidays.
Some staff who got their own children and sometimes they do term time mm. early hours, and that's how they keep it flexible. Some other staff, you know, can cover that, and sometimes people do job shares, and that's how they can cover that as well. But yeah. it's a very difficult kind of, you know, thing to maintain that mm. rota and the ratios with too much flexible working within nurseries, because yes, it's not really possible.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, the good news for nursery employers is that the new proposals for flexible working aren't changing any of the 8 business reasons why you can refuse a request. And, you know, one of the reasons is, you know, it'd be too expensive to agree to the change, or you can't organise the work amongst its existing staff. So, you know, those are going to still be in place. There is a bit more of a push to make flexible working the norm, but, you know, absolutely, the government is still recognising that in some situations, an employer just can't agree to it.
I think that's why it's important to make it very clear when they're recruiting, because, you know, a lot of people are now saying that, you know, when they recruit somebody, they advertise the post and they say, well, hybrid working, 2 days in the office or 3 days at home or whatever. But they come to the interview, and if they're offered the job, they're actually saying, well, no, can I work from home all the time? Or can I only do 3 days and 4 days? And it's really difficult for an employer to do that when they very clearly advertise that this is the role, this is what we expect. And so it's really hard. So it's, I think, again, for nurseries, it's a really difficult thing for them to implement some of these changes without that flexibility.
Yeah. The next thing I wanted to talk about was maternity and parental protections, which are included in the bill. So they're actually going to make paternity leave a right from day one. So at the moment, an employee needs 6 months service. And also parental leave, which is the unpaid leave that somebody can take. That's now going to become a day one right as well. Or at the moment, you do need a year's service to be able to take parental leave. Another new change I wanted to mention, which is actually coming in April, is the introduction of neonatal care leave and pay. So this applies to parents of children who've been admitted to hospital for extended care, so 7 days or more within 28 days of birth. And if that is the case, then the parents can take up to 12 weeks of additional leave each, which is paid at the same rate as SMP. So that's actually sort of coming in quite soon. Now, I suppose just generally, well, it's a predominantly female sector, isn't it, in nurseries? So there aren't, you know, perhaps parental leave might get used as the unpaid leave. There aren't changes proposed to maternity leave. But yes, I suppose it's always a consideration for nurseries just to ensure that employees are getting the parental, the family friendly rights that they are due.
Yeah, because of the kind of, you know, the sector is heavily, you know, female employment, and they really are very conscious of this and very flexible in terms of you know, the staff rotas and staff kind of, you know, recruitment. But I think, you know, it's really difficult, like I said, you know, if you got 98% of your staff are all female, you know, you need 2 or 3 people who are pregnant and going on maternity leave, then the staffing issue, you know, kicks in again. So it's really important because there is a staffing crisis at the moment. So recruitment crisis in nursery. So it's, you know, they're very mindful of that. But I think the neonatal care is really, really good and positive.
Mm.
And one hopes that nobody has to take that. Yes.
I mean, obviously, situation is a little high.
Absolutely. I think that support is really good. But a lot of nurseries really do take care of their staff and really actually go out of the way to support them under any circumstance.
Yeah, brilliant. The next change I wanted to talk about was to rules on sexual harassment. So the Worker Protection Act 2023 actually came into force in October last year in 2024. And this has created a new proactive duty on employers to take reasonable steps to prevent sexual harassment of their staff. I think it's important for nurseries to be aware that the guidance that was published by the Equality and Human Rights Commission has said that reasonable steps needs to include taking reasonable steps to prevent sexual harassment by third parties. So, you know, for example, parents coming into the nursery setting, nurseries would have to ensure that they had thought about any risks in terms of sexual harassment by those parents coming in. In terms of sort of taking action to implement these new rules, it's really about thinking about, updating policies, having updated training against sexual harassment, making sure everyone's aware of the new policies, and also conducting risk assessments as well, so that it is risk assessing those different situations. Now, hopefully, I think this isn't, I mean, nobody wants to work in an environment with any kind of harassment going on. And hopefully that isn't too much of the case. And I don't know whether you're aware of any statistics within nurseries, but...
It is, unfortunately. But I think, you know, in these days of social media, when something happens outside of work, you know, then it gets brought back into the nursery. So nurseries already have policies in this area. And, if you see their uniforms and the staff only wear the first name badges, the full name is not kind of, out there. And again, you know, within the nursery, they're very, very clear about how they safeguard the information about their staff and the data that they actually hold as well. So, and I think, again, regular review of their harassment policies and things like that is really important to make sure. But equally, you know, sometimes when something is put on Facebook or any other social media, it's really important to actually keep an eye on that as well, because nurseries have their own websites and Facebook pages, and it's really important that they monitor those as well for any comments or anything coming up on those as well.
Yes.
And it's crucial that they have that kind of social media policy as well for the staff.
Yeah. No, definitely. And it is about sort of looking at the rules and thinking about how much you're also making sure that employees don't put inappropriate things on, and obviously in terms of, like you say, with sort of any users of the nursery, for example, sort of relating. So yeah, no, absolutely. The very final thing I just wanted to really flag, I suppose, just to sort of bring it all together in terms of the real focus now on enforcement of rights is that the government is looking to introduce a new body called the Fair Work Agency, which will be one overall agency which is looking to sort of enforce workers' rights. So it is really a clear signpost of the importance they're attaching to, you know, the new rights and making sure that it is going to have greater visibility if it's one body that's sort of enforcing things like national minimum wage, holiday regulations. I think this is a clear signpost of the importance that the government's attaching to, you know, the enforcement of employment law rights. So things like national minimum wage, which is always already quite tricky for nurseries to sort of get their heads around, I think. So just really sort of showing that that overall scrutiny is going to be very much heightened once this Fair Work Agency is in place.
I think nurseries, I mean, this is an area I'm not sure, without knowing too much detail about the agency and their approach and their powers in terms of inspecting workplaces. A lot of that already happens. Mm. For example, HMRC do audits of nurseries. Local authority do audits of nurseries. Health and safety inspectors do audits of nurseries. Food standards agencies and local authority, they do a kind of audits. Ofsted. So they have got plenty going on, you know, and I think it's really important to not to overburden, employers in terms of that scrutiny. Of course, it's important if somebody is not following the law and the regulation, but it's equally important to not to kind of, pile on them the kind of pressures. And I remember one quote from somebody who was one of my board member years ago, and he was leaving and he was retiring. And I said to him, I can't believe you're retiring, and what are you going to do? And he said to me, anything that does not involve employing a single person, Panima. And I always remember that, because that just shows the kind of responsibility and the accountability as an employer these days to meet all these regulations and rules and everything. So, you know, it's difficult enough to manage a nursery without having to be in the middle of all these. And I think that's why it's important, you know, that we have support from Citation and other help to be able to help them navigate all these changes at a really difficult time.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think that's exactly right. Right. It is really difficult to keep on top of it. But I think, you know, it is one of those things where, you know, compliance is not just a tick box exercise, is it? It's actually, you know, some of the things we're talking about here in terms of treating people well, communicating well with them, you know, well-being, all of those things lead to greater employee engagement, which leads to a happier work environment and a better nursery and better for the children as well, isn't it? So it's all sort of positive, but an awful lot of work.
I mean, anybody sitting out there listening to this podcast wanting to open a nursery, they will think, oh my goodness me, why would I want to do this? That's not what we want people to do.
No,
we want people to create that employment. We want people to grow the economy. We want people to be able to come and enjoy what a wonderful sector this is, working with children and changing their lives for good.
Exactly.
That's what we want to promote more rather than the negative side of it.
Yeah, yeah. It's just about knowing what you should be getting right
as well.
Absolutely.
It's fun. Absolutely great fun to work in nurseries, guys. So don't think that this is all going to create a problem.
Right. So I think we've sort of... do I need to do a summary or...
I think you want to just finish off by saying, you know, we will be...
CTA, right? Is anyone with us, lads?
Do we want to say we'll be doing some events?
Yeah, well, Monday about the end of that. And how we're working together or where to look for resources. Yeah. Because I think Lauren was going to pull some together.
No, did you send it in to you already?
No, I don't think so.
Jump to pause this in the yard, but
we are like then.
Yeah.
She'll be organizing. We're organizing events as well. Yeah.
Are you ready? Yeah. Thanks for listening. We hope this episode gave you helpful insights into navigating employment law changes and preparing your nursery for the future. So remember, staying ahead of compliance isn't just about avoiding penalties. It's about building a positive environment where your team can thrive and your nursery can continue to provide exceptional care. If you have any questions or need any tailored advice, don't hesitate to reach out to us. Until next time, take care and keep creating safe, happy spaces for the children and families in your care. And thanks ever so much, Panima, for coming in today.
Thank you, Emma. And as you know, we're going to be organising some events as well to really focus on these issues for our members and keep them up to date on things. So thank you very much for doing this.
Brilliant. Thank you.